Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Uranium, is it still hot and glowing?
Well, we had some funny news from Kazatomprom, which is, as you know, the world's biggest uranium supplier. It already said they were going to have problems with production, not enough sulfuric acid. That's how they get their uranium, is they pump sulfuric acid through the ground, which is just as horrible as it sounds, but that's Kazakhstan for you. So they announced that they're going to have trouble reaching their lowered 2024 targets, and they're also saying they'll have problems continuing into 2025 for the same reasons. Now, that caused pretty much all uranium stocks to pop today. If your uranium stock did not go up on this news, it's time for you to sell that uranium stock, basically. And so what I did was I took the opportunity to grab some nice fat gains on Cameco, and to grab some nice gains on some Cameco calls we had, and we'll see how things go. Maybe I'll add new positions as soon as next week. I'm expecting we'll see a pullback after this. That's exactly what happened when Cameco announced its shortfall late last year. We saw everything go up on the news and then start sliding again. So I expect what we're having now is a bunch of short covering. And then we are going to see things head lower, and then we can all buy them again. So, I mean, if you're just looking at the long-term picture, there's certainly no reason to sell, just because I'm a nervous Nelly, and also because we have calls. Call options are, you know, time-wasting assets, so we have to deal with that as well. And I mean, this is quite bullish. I was just at a presentation by a uranium company last night, which I don't want to name because I recorded an interview, and I want to send it to my subscribers first. Mm-hmm. My Resource Trader subscribers will get that next week. Anyway, this guy was just talking about the setup for everything and how so many things have come together for this bull market in uranium. Now, I've been talking about this for like a year now, and anybody who's hearing this who has bad feelings about uranium, I understand it completely. We have had disappointment after disappointment. For years we did, you know? And I understand why people might be ticked off. But you can't ignore a bull market that's staring you in the face. And that's what we've got right now. And still, if you talk to Wall Street and you say, well, uranium's in a bull market, what should we buy? All they'll say is Cameco. They don't have the scope to look beyond Cameco to what else there is. There are a bunch of good juniors that have production coming on in the next year or two. That's well within the time frame of any bull market, and I believe that's what people should be looking at. I can go into the long other forces driving uranium, but basically it's a supply-demand squeeze. That's the basic headline, and the news from Cameco just made the supply-demand squeeze worse. So that's kind of what, you know, we're dealing with here.
Well, let's take a look at the long-term thing. More nuclear reactors coming online?
That's true. Not only more, but also different kinds, right? Because they're now coming up with those small modular nuclear reactors. Now, what's the point of that? What's the point of a small nuclear reactor? Well, say you have a remote lining location. I mean, you are mining copper out in the middle of nowhere, which that's where the mines are nowadays because we already mined the stuff that was close to us. So we have to go further and further afield. Well, you bring in the small modular reactor. There are like three designs, two have been approved. And you hook that up and boom, you have all the power you need. And if for some reason you get done with it, well, it can fit on a tractor trailer truck. You know, they'll just load it up and they'll take it on to the next one. So it's not the huge investment that that a big nuclear power plant. And so what that's going to do is that's going to increase the versatility of nuclear power and therefore increase the demand. We also, I mean, so many things. We have Japan coming back into the market. For a while, one of the things that depressed the price of uranium was the fact that Japan had sworn off nuclear power, so it was selling its stockpiles off into the market. That's one of the things that really drove the price of uranium so low. But Japan has now realized it really needs nuclear power as part of a greater energy solution, you know, just to keep the lights on at night. So they're getting back into it. And then you had the big climate summit, which happened, was that last month or the month before? In any case, a bunch of nations signed an agreement to lower their emissions. And the only way they can do it, and many of them said this, the only way they can do it is to increase their nuclear power. So we have that. And let me add one more thing to the mix. Is working its way through the U.S. Congress right now is a bill to stop importing uranium from Russia. About two-thirds of all uranium used in the U.S. comes through the port of St. Petersburg, and I don't mean the one in Florida. And so what this will do is over the course of a few years, say 2028, it'll cut back on the amount of Russian-sourced uranium we use until it's zero. That has to be made up somewhere. Where that's going to be made up is in those small juniors that I mentioned. So that's the longer-term theme on all this. And also, let's throw in the fact that there's much less radioactivity coming out of a nuclear power plant than there is out of a coal-fired power plant because there's uranium in coal, and they don't try and stop that from going out. So put all things together, and that is a big picture.
Oh, that's interesting, a coal-fired plant. I also saw a documentary that said Brazil nuts were radioactive because the roots go so deep into the soil, they pull radium out. And so you're not supposed to eat too many Brazil nuts a day.
I once met a girl from Brazil, and she was a nut, and I'd consider her radioactive, so your point is proven.
Oh, that explains so much about Brazil, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, what's going on with the Fed?
Well, on, let's see, Wednesday, Jerome Powell gave a talk after the Fed did not raise rates, did not cut rates either. And what he said is that basically he's really trying to damp down on the hopes for a March rate cut. And so that sent the market sliding. I think that it's put a short-term top on the market. Could be proven wrong. Would be nice if I was proven wrong on that. But that's the kind of event you see where a lot of people get washed out and they get sick of things, so they just go away for a while and they work on their, basketball skills. They just don't look at the market right now. And so short-term top in the market. However, the market still believes there's going to be a cut in May, and actually some people think that we could see like a 50 basis point cut in May. So even though the optimism is out of the market right now, it'll come back. You can count on that. So, you know, I mean, you can do what you want. In Resource Trader, I took some nice gains on some copper calls. I took those because of the news about Evergrande. And I took the uranium calls, and I took the Cameco position off. But I'm just content to sit for a bit and wait and see what the market brings next. But a pullback would not surprise me. Supercycle Investor, we took one of our positions that's leveraged to AI and cybersecurity. We have a few of those. And again, a short-term market top would not surprise me here. And that's fine. You know, not everything can go up all the time. You have to have pullbacks. You have to have setbacks. You're just going to see what happens with those things and see what comes up next. Real estate's been awfully strong, which surprised the hell out of me. But, you know, I mean, we've seen even at the hint of a rate cut, just the real estate market started charging higher again. I don't know what the hell's going on there. So there's some different things that could come in play. But right now, I believe Jerome Powell put the lid on the market. It'll take us at least a few weeks to actually get back up through there again. You can spend that time however you want. I'm not suggesting anyone spend it with their families. I don't want you to be too rash. But, you know, have some fun and make your shopping list. The time to buy will come again. One thing that I'm looking at is biotech. That was already in a two-year bear market. And AI, artificial intelligence, in a lot of industries, it's just smoke. You have CEOs talking about artificial intelligence, and they don't know what they're talking about. In biotech, it's empirically provable that it speeds up drug discovery. So the smart biotechs are using artificial intelligence to really get a leg up on the game. So that's something that really interests me, something we're starting to look at in Supercycle Investor. And we'll be looking at more of that in the future.
Sure. AI used to scan for things, certain cancers where the process has been speeded up 10,000 times. Something incredible.
Right. I mean, you used to have this this huge team of like researchers trying to figure out you know, what stuff actually works. Now you can just run it all through these simulations and get answers in short order. It does not take the humans out of the equation. But it, like, gives the researchers superpowers. Suddenly they're super researchers. They can find out a lot more stuff and find things much more quickly. So it's a very interesting thing. One other thing people should keep their mind on is the way tech companies are laying off. I believe part of this is hopium due to CEOs thinking, well, we'll just have AI replace all these customer service people. And maybe it will. But you know what? I think it's too early to make anything... any kind of bets like that, but we are seeing some massive layoffs in tech right now. Jobs that people thought were safe are just disappearing. So definitely keep your eye on that. That's a worrisome thing to watch. But overall, I am quite bullish on the markets and on the U.S. economy, even though the global economy seems to be struggling along in third gear right now. But the U.S. economy looks very strong. Part of that is due to cheap energy. Part of that is due to the fact that other companies from other countries in the world are locating here for cheap energy and other things. And so there's a lot of bullishness going on. And so overall, I'm quite bullish. It's just, as I said, I think Jerome Powell put a short-term lid on the market, and that'll take some time to work off.
Do you think the Democrats will be desperate enough to try to legalize or at least decriminalize marijuana federally?
Well, lots of people are pushing Biden to do that, but, you know, he's old school. I'm not sure that he sees any real hurry to legalize marijuana. I wish he would, but he's not going to. One of the big things will be what happens at the border. The Democrats in the Senate and the Republicans in the Senate pretty much came up with a plan that gave the Republicans what they'd always wanted. And then Trump... So... they had a deal, and then Trump came along and said, no, you know what, that hurt my election chances. No deal on the border. So is it a crisis at the border or not? I mean, it really depends. I mean, because if it is a crisis, then you'd think they'd do something about it. But the guy who's currently the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, he is willing to ice the whole thing because Donald Trump wants him. I still think that the border is going to be very important during the election, as are some other things. And so we're seeing economic worries fade a bit because, you know, pretty much the economy is working for most people, except those tech people that are getting laid off. But we'll see the crisis at the border become a football in the election. Not sure how that actually plays out. We'll have to see. And there are some other things as well. If we have any big natural disasters, anything like that, I'm not sure. Israel is a problem, of course, stuff like that. But I'm sure that's beyond you and me. Personally, I don't know any solution for the Middle East. So, you know, I just concentrate on what I can work on.
Well, there will be a disaster because the U.S. has the worst weather in the world. Nobody has more tornadoes, hurricanes, floods.
Well, I don't know. Here I am in Florida on a February day, and it's 75 degrees out. At this point, I'm pretty sure there are people in Canada saying, wait a minute, we have the worst weather in the world. You know, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's all relative, but we'll see how things go.
Now, because the U.S., you have the warm water from the tropics coming up and the cold air from Canada mixing over this large landmass. Now you guys get to have the worst weather. Otherwise, your weather channel wouldn't be so successful. Vancouver.
What are we now, two old guys talking about the weather, really?
Yeah, we are. Well, well, if we want to put it in financial terms, take a look at how much your household insurance went up this year.
Oh, my God. Don't even talk to me about it. Yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy. We'll have to get that fixed, hopefully.
Well, Vancouver will be 54 degrees or 14 Celsius today, which in Canada for this time of year is tropical.
I always love Vancouver. It's a lovely city.
What's going on with gold?
You know, I thought we were going to have a gold breakout this month. Everything was lining up for it. And then really, again, Jerome Powell pretty much let the air out of those tires. So gold can continue to go sideways. That's why if you're in natural resources, you have to look beyond precious metals. And you have to look beyond oil, which is also in its own trading range. So I think oil could perk up depending on what happens in Ukraine. They have some new missiles that could raise havoc with Russian oil processing. So, gold is still sleeping. And, yeah, every now and then a gold stock picks its head up and people get excited. But look at the big trend. The big trend across the entire industry is it's still in slumber. So, you know. But I do expect good things this year. It's just, you know, we have to start getting rate cuts before that actually happens.
And on crude, any price pickup?
Nah, you know, crude is crude. It's like dragging along. I am expecting, well, first of all, I expect the U.S. is going to bomb somebody in the Middle East within the next month. And I say that from how my defense stocks are acting. They are picking up big time. Somebody knows something. And but will an attack in the Middle East actually affect the price of oil? Maybe it will, maybe it won't. That's always been hard to game. In fact, sometimes when the bombs drop, price of oil goes down because actually anticipation had built up before them. So oil is waiting for a catalyst. However, I think U.S. oil production has peaked. Short term, I'm not saying we're at a long term peak, though we could be, but at least in the short term, U.S. oil production has peaked. That should take some extra supply off the market. Now, if we can get some natural gas supply off, that would be good too, because the price of that is still near rock bottom. But for now, we're still waiting on catalysts that haven't appeared yet. I'm still overall bullish, though.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me on.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.